PA. Many of you have heard my voice before, have not met me. I was the facility status report technician. So I'll be talking about the wake of Typhoon Funafuti. My talk is very closely related with what Renshi was talking about and Luke also. This figure doesn't really have much to do with my talk except that you see a satellite image of Typhoon Funafuti there and reminds me of fun times at iTalk Control Center in Monterey, California. I have quite a few co-authors on my talk, not because they necessarily contributed to my talk itself, but because I've been working with a lot of different people and I just want to acknowledge everybody. And there are people missing there. So an overview of my talk. First of all, as you all have seen, there are more subsurface observations made in the wake of Typhoon Funafuti than probably ever before in a tropical cyclone and possibly ever will be in the future. And this is really fortunate because what I've found and what you have an inkling of already is that the satellite sea surface temperature does not adequately show the wake. It says that the wake goes away in about a week, and subsurface observations show that that is not the case. It persists for at least 12 days and probably longer. So I'm going to show a sequence of images that Jim Price actually kindly gave me this week, and it's just a merged satellite sea surface temperature product, microwave and IR. It's not perfect, but it kind of tells the story that I want to tell. And I'll start with 7th of September, 10 days before Funafuti passed, just to give you an idea of what the pre-storm conditions were like. So the 8th, 9th, you can see that, you know, sea surface temperature is around 29 to 30 degrees. And there you can see Typhoon Funafuti coming along on the 15th of September. The 16th, it makes that wonky turn that was so hard to forecast, but Grant Elliott did a beautiful job of it. And on the 17th of September, it's the actual typhoon, and we see the cold wake. So about less than 27 degrees. This was the first deployment flight. I call it day zero, and that's the line where the 7 EMA PECs along with Otto's and SVP drifters were deployed. And here you can really see the wake, about 26.5 degrees on day one, which, sorry about that formatting. I'll go back. So I'll just show you next. So the wake is there on the 19th, the 20th, it starts to go away. And you can also see that it's starting to make this little turn around the cyclonic eddy that was there. And you keep going, and it's getting weaker and weaker. And you can see that there's this cold pool that we've talked about that I won't talk about. And by October, you might think you see something, but if you compare it to what the wake looked like, it's really very much weakened. So Jim did a quick analysis of this satellite sea surface temperature and showed that there the e-folding time for warming of the wake is about a week. But does that really mean the wake disappears in a week? We've seen already today that no, it doesn't. And I'm just going to look at some subsurface measurements, specifically focus on EMA PECs. So here's just a quick table that I thought was pretty impressive of all the subsurface observations we have. There are more than this, but I'll be mostly focusing just on EMA PECs and also show some sea gliders. So here are two time series from two different EMA PECs floats. We have 4907, which is the one Renshi focused on a lot, And also 4910, which is the one that the eye passed directly over. I am showing data down to 200 meters here and 10 days of data. Day zero is the 7th, or the 18th of September. And you can see that this water, 26.5 degree water, is the wake, what I'm calling the wake water. And after a couple of days, it has this cap on it, which I've wrestled a lot with what to call that warm on top of it. And I have decided to call it a cap because of what Ren Chi was showing about the subsurface jet. So I think that it looks like this water that's formed out of the lake is actually slides under warmer water off to the side. And I'll show that a little bit more in a second. But so yes, the sun comes out and warms up the surface, but also this is water is sliding under other water. And it probably acts to preserve the wake longer. So how did I define the wake? Because it's not really obvious how to define the wake. I said it's not just surface mixed layer. I found a mixed layer that fell within between 26 and 28 degrees and that had a stratification or temperature gradient of less than 0.05 degrees, so pretty small temperature gradient. And that's sometimes below, not at the surface. So these plots down here show the temperature of this wake layer that I'm calling, and the depth of the wake, the bottom of the wake. So when it's black, when the line's black here, it's a surface feature. And when it's green dots, it's a subsurface feature. So there is a layer stratification on top of it that's greater than 0.05 degrees centigrade per meter. So you can see pools down to about 26.5. It becomes a subsurface layer, a new surface layer forms, and then it kind of oscillates back and forth between surface and subsurface. Whether that's diurnal warming or something else going on, you're kind of fighting. So this is how I defined the wake, and I had been looking at EMAPEX, sea gliders, shipboard CDD, and autos floats. I'm only really going to talk about EMAPEX and a little bit of sea gliders here, but you can see it in all of these data sets. So I'm going to show a map of this wake water found by the EMAPEX, and the color is the temperature of the wake. And I've plotted it on geostrophic currents, so just showing this big eddy. And here's the Ryukyu Ridge. So this is on the 14th of September, the 15th, Kanafi comes along, gets stronger, bigger circles mean bigger wind, and turns the corner. And on day zero, we deployed 7 EMAPEX floats. Here are the two that I'm mainly concerned with, 4907 and 4910. This is the first day of data. You can see it's around 29 degrees. So on day one of the wake, you can see that it's a much cooler, cooled by about 2.5 degrees, down to 26.5. And on day two, on the 19th, you can start to see that these floats are shooting ahead of the ones next to them. And you keep going, and it becomes really clear that those EMAPEX are definitely experiencing a jet. And as Renchi showed, it is below the surface. And you can't see it in geostrophic surface currents, mainly because it's below the surface and also they're really mean averages. And then, about 7 to 8 days out, these two EMAPEX part ways, and one goes through the Ryukyu Ridge and one gets sucked into that eddy. So that's really interesting. And I think matters a lot for this particular wake. And that's the end of the EMAPEX record, about 10 days of data. So I want to show you, so this, the color is the wake water. And I want to show you what the surface layer temperature looks like. Not that different for these guys, but for 4907, 4910, you can see that here, there basically isn't a surface mixed layer because it's a stratified cap sitting on top. And it's also these warm spots which show that there is a very shallow mixed layer sitting on top of the lake, hiding the lake from the surface and isolating. So there's the lake again. So what happened? The lake was capped. There's a subsurface jet. The lake slid under warm water, and also solar radiation, which you normally might think would re-stratify the lake. And maybe that is the case, but I think that this, since the subsurface jet is there, the solar radiation could actually isolate the lake more. And then the Reefing Ridge, I kind of thought of it like peeling the string cheese because it splits in half, or splitting firewood. And the eddy also. People have talked about that, how that strains the lake. So I just want to show how sea gliders also see the same thing. This is two different sea gliders, 169 and 181. And this black line signifies the end of the EM apex record. And so you can see that 59, 10, 11, 12, you still see this subsurface. The ice pigmas are still blowing out there. And you can still see that lake water, kind of like mauve water. And so where were these sea gliders relative to the EM apex? Right there. So these two went back and forth, north and south on the transept. And you can see that the color again is sea surface or the lake temperature. And it matches very well with the EM apex, although the EM apex are out here where the circles are when the sea glider began. It's transept here, so that just shows that yes, you see cool water out here, but it's still cold out here too. So to summarize, Anafi, the most well-sampled lake in history, and the lake persisted as a surface feature for a week and much longer, or as a subsurface feature. And I think, and I could be wrong, and I'd love to discuss this with you, that the capping is due to subsurface jet and solar insulation. And those processes would preserve the lake rather than destroy it. And then also topography, eddy, and mixing would have to destroy the lake.
Question or two?
Do you think the mixed layer becomes shallow is because the subsurface jet is pushing underneath the warmer water, so the mixed layer becomes shallower in the later part of the world?
It becomes shallower than it was prior to the pushing of it? Well, possibly. You know, I don't really know what the mixed layer at that place was before the apex got there. So.
I'm not sure it's a subsurface jet where that first line was either. The subsurface jet might be closer. I'm not clear that that jet is necessarily subsurface.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes.
It would have been neat to see what the surface winds were doing, you know, during where all that interesting stuff was going on. It's kind of hard to interpret just by itself.
So that's why my question is whether
it has to compare with
the surface.
Yeah. Really? Jim?
The folks on the south side of the track, the ones in the north, which you talked about, just the way it is.
So they went like this. You know, this the southernmost one started there and it went around. It just followed this eddy. So that's where it went in 10 days. This one, there's data missing. That's why there's no dots here. But it kind of went straight northwest. And this one went sort of northwest. And this looks like there's a little bit of maybe convergence here. But yeah, the geostrophic currents are going like this. So everything was brought up to the northwest, but those two moved a lot faster.
But the depth is, in any sense, the scale, the gray depth,
right? The longer arrows are stronger currents. But there's no correlation with the no scale.
I just put a comment, Rosalinda. It's amazing that background ocean pattern is pretty much identical to what the pattern was for Chuck B in 2008 when we deployed the 24 degrees there. It's a cyclonic eddy to the left and a cyclonic eddy to the right. And Chuck might not be
between
them.
Yeah, that would be an interesting person. I actually saw that. I think Hurricane Katrina had the same thing. Had a big cyclonic eddy. There was a cold lake on the left side of Hurricane Katrina that no one really knew what to do with. I think I read in a paper that they found out it was because of a cold dome that was on the left side of it, and then it actually had a phytoplankton bloom that carried along.
Should we let Rosalinda escape?
Yes.
Shall we have lunch?
Well, thanks, all.